What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com, our Q&A and Backstage Report podcast for August 19th, 2024. I want to apologize for last week's show going up at like 8 p.m. Was definitely scheduled for 8 a.m., but Patreon issues, I guess. But hey, here we are. I saw a comment that said, I miss the old Q&A format. Well, we've got timestamps, so you can easily just fast forward to that Q&A portion if you so choose. But I'm glad that so many of you have been enjoying this new format. Definitely easier on my schedule, but I like it. I like having one show that we can kind of point at and say that is the anchor of Fightful Select. So very happy about that. Very excited to be talking with you guys and recapping some news. So let's jump right into it. Adam Cole news. This is great news, in my opinion. I think in everybody's opinion. Adam Cole was backstage at the August 14th episode of AEW Dynamite. Now, it's not out of the ordinary for an injured talent to be at AEW taping. Switchblade Jay White was as well. But Cole had been taken off the road for a number of months ago, as traveling seemed to be hindering his potential return. However, we're told that as soon as next week, he is supposed to be training in-ring for an eventual and hopeful return. Switchblade Jay White is expected back soon as well, as Fightful Select reported. Now, as of a couple weeks ago, we heard maybe there were some explosiveness issues with him pushing off of his foot, his injured foot, but we're told that he is supposed to be back sooner or later. At least that's the internal plan from AEW and the like. Sting also backstage at recent AEW events. I think it's possible we see some more of him. He was backstage at Collision, as it is up the road in Texas. He said the same thing about All In as well. But I was told one of the situations was him surprising Darby Allin, which is very, very cool to see. But AEW hopefully getting a couple of heavy hitters back, because they do need it. They need any burst of popularity that they can get and some more eyeballs on their show, especially this time of year as well. Contract news. Randy Orton confirmed with Fightful that he has signed a 5-year contract. This will put him with WWE until the end of 2029. Now, he had signed a 5-year deal in 2019 that would keep him with the company until late this year. Now, a few months ago, we had reported that if WWE really wanted to, they could have exercised injury time. Now, I asked internally with WWE, like, why wasn't that the case? Why didn't that end up happening? And they said, well, this is a different world than it was 5 years ago in wrestling and in general. This is pre-pandemic. This is when AEW was getting started. The distribution of money was a little bit different. There are additional merchandising agreements now, additional television agreements, and they felt like it probably wouldn't have been fair to necessarily just run that deal. And I don't want to put words in their mouth. That's the vibe that I got. And here's the way that I viewed it. Now, I'll say this is my opinion. If you got a Randy Orton on the amount of money he was making in 2019, which is good money, but if you also remember, there were a lot of people getting signed to like $700,000-$800,000 deals back in 2019 that people went, oh my God, I can't believe that. Now people are getting signed millions and millions of dollars. I'm not saying Orton was one of those people that was on that amount, but the money now compared to 2019, even then when it looked like the pay scale had exploded because of AEW, it's even way, way beyond that now. So international dates, media obligations, merchandise, social media will, you know, naturally adjust that. Fightful Select did confirm that Bobby Lashley's WWE contract has come to an end. We had reported it was set to expire in August. Sources within WWE say that the door is still open for eventual appearances, but Lashley has interest from top companies both domestically and internationally and within the combat sports world, and he will continue wrestling. Bryan Danielson, hopefully he will continue wrestling. I got to interview him for AEW All In. Hoping I can get to do another one. This one was very abbreviated. I wanted to mix in some fun stuff and some very serious stuff, like his thoughts on modern day wrestling and the memes, all that good stuff as well. But we talked about his contract, and he said that he does not have a contract of any kind. He's not getting paid extra to do the disciplinary committee thing, but he was honored to be asked to do it. because it showed that he was level-headed, or at least gave him the illusion that AEW viewed him as level-headed. But he said that he hasn't had a new offer or anything like that, but he'll listen to Tony whenever he wants to call. But did note, well, maybe other companies have reached out to me, but if so, I don't know about it because I've got 4,000 missed text messages. But he did say that the disciplinary committee isn't fun to participate in, but he does represent the wrestler's perspective and feels like he does that well. He's not sure if he's going to continue doing that after he's done wrestling, but he said that he does want to stay involved with AEW, wants to help out when he can, how he can, but the priority is going to be getting his neck taken care of, which he says is going to require surgery sooner than later. So glad I get to talk to him. I'm hoping I get to talk to him for a little bit longer. It was only about 15, 16 minutes. We had a pretty strict time limit, but man, I've got so many things I still want to ask him. MLW contract news. They have signed their Women's World Featherweight Champion, Jannai Kai, to a contract. She debuted at MLW Slaughterhouse 2023, where she beat Del Miexo to win the title, but had worked without a contract. She had been backstage at AEW recently, but MLW made her an offer and ended up signing her to what was her first contract in pro wrestling. She is a unique performer, one that MLW was very lucky to land, and I think it's going to be a good partnership there. Some more, I would say, contract rumors. Michael Oku, Amira. Supposedly there's interest, according to Rev Pro Talent. Now, there were some people in Rev Pro that had reached out and said, yeah, they haven't signed anything like that, and pushed back on that, but I believe that there probably is interest from AEW. It wouldn't shock me to see them appear this week on Dynamite or on All In general. I'm not saying they will, but it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. Lucha Brothers as well. Penta had posted a thing saying, AEW is my present. My hunch there is that he realizes now that Phoenix is still under contract until next month and does not want to complicate things for him. Penta pushed back on those reports, but there were a lot of people saying that he could be in Orlando last week. I never heard that he was going to be, but that it was a real possibility. But there are an awful lot of people that were saying, one, that Penta's deal already expired, but Phoenix still had time, but that AEW could add an awful lot of injury time there. And there were a lot of people in AEW that said that it didn't seem like Penta and Phoenix wanted to do business, so to speak. Now, if I were Tony Khan in AEW, and this is my personal opinion on the matter, I would probably say, hey, Penta, you come back, you put over some people with your brother, and we won't extend him due to injury time. You can go do whatever you want. I think that's fair. I think that makes a lot of sense. Dark Show matches. A bunch of them got changed after SmackDown. It was supposed to be Sami Zayn versus Ludwig Kaiser, and then it was supposed to be Gunther versus Jey Uso versus Damian Priest for the world title. It ended up being Sami Zayn versus Santos Escobar. Then they did Gunther versus Jey Uso, but Ludwig Kaiser and Damian Priest got involved. They did a tag match, and Priest and Uso beat Imperium. I'm told that was to send the fans home happy and not necessarily end that show on like a, aw, man, note, especially when they just announced a live event that would be going head-to-head with an AEW pay-per-view in that city. We got a bunch of Rev Pro news. We have a bunch of OTT news from Corey Brennan. If you guys aren't checking that out, you really should be. He had news on JD McDonagh, Finn Balor, Will Ospreay at the Rev Pro show as well. Some of the injuries that were sustained there. Corey Brennan is doing a phenomenal job in that regard. Just doing really, really good. CM Punk. Now, the travel issues that were mentioned on Raw last week were just a storyline, but it has been rampant across wrestling the last month. Like, travel has just gotten so backed up. So don't be surprised if you still end up seeing some of that. We also have heard that Hangman Page, Swerve Strickland is planned for All Out, as Abu of WrestlePurist noted. In addition to Mark Henry and Candice Michelle, Michelle McCool was also at WWE Raw. As we reported, Tony Khan and WBD's David Zaslav met in Paris for the Olympics. We will have more on that soon. AEW is interested in running a show in Australia. As Sporting News Australia reported, that is something that we have heard as well. Fightful Select was able to get our information confirmed, so to speak. AEW All In Texas. We had long been reporting that AEW had been zeroing in on a Dallas area stadium show. Shortly after we reported that, we also said that Globe Life Field was the likely location. That is the location. Corey Brennan reports that NXT is planning their double taping this week. And as Corey Brennan reported after SummerSlam, Jacob Fatu was said to be okay, was planned to sell his leg. He did return on Friday. Bron Breakker was visiting friends around a recent TNA show. Weren't told if he was backstage, though. Indie wrestler White Mike worked as an extra on an episode of AEW Dynamite earlier this month. A wrestler known as the Puerto Rican Punisher was featured on an episode of Crimes Gone Viral, which is now on HBO Max for those of you who are true crime fans. Before we get into the Q&A portion, I do also want to take the time to wish the best to Justin Barrasso. For the last, I want to say 9 years, he has done wrestling work with and around Sports Illustrated. He announced that his contract would be up and that he chose to pursue other interests. And I just want to say, he is a wonderful guy. He just, in the, gosh, I've probably spoken to him about a couple dozen times, just an incredibly kind individual and the type of person that the world should want in whatever media platform. Like, he makes things better, and he is the type of personality that I really admire. So I want to wish him the best, because he did a lot of really good work and had a lot of great interviews and things like that. But let's get into the By God Q&A portion of this show. Just a reminder, I know I mentioned this earlier on, but I did see one person say I missed the old method of the Q&A, but that's why I'm leaving timestamps for these. That way, in case you ever want to do that, there you go. Any updates on Daniel Garcia? I have not heard a single update on that other than he hadn't signed a new deal. Is Eric Cole a reliable source of news regarding his word that Vince's health is deteriorating? So let me address this as best I can. I did not know who Eric Cole was before this, and I still barely do. And that's not like a shot at him or any disrespect. But Eric Cole is the brother of a former WWE employee, Lee Cole. Now, McMahon's attorneys told Brandon Thurston that Vince McMahon's health is fine. They have no idea where the rumor came from. Said it is not true. Now, Vince did have like major spinal surgery a while back. He'll be 79 next week. It's not unreasonable to think that would just naturally happen. You know what I mean? But in looking at that fellow's YouTube after that, like, he covers Vince McMahon and everything. I mean, dozens and dozens of videos. So I would encourage you to kind of watch those and decide on your own, because I don't really know how plugged in he is or isn't to the McMahon family, what connections he may have because of his brother who was an employee or anything like that. Just unfamiliar with the fella. But his videos seem to do pretty good numbers. Do I think the AEW ticket sales will be affected by WWE running a show in Orlando at the same time? What is the general reaction from those in AEW regarding the move by WWE? Just now, based on the reactions that I got, just a, well, of course they are type of thing. Yes, it will affect ticket sales. WWE is a very, very hot ticket right now, and it's their holiday tour, so that will do good. This is obviously intentional and a concentrated effort, and it's a part of competition. It's just the nature of competition, and it's the way that things work. Michael Weber says, what tag teams are out there that AEW can sign? Grizzled Young Vets, are Motor City Machine Guns truly signed to WWE? Fellas, when I get an update on Motor City Machine Guns, I will let you guys know. I haven't heard a damn thing about that. Grizzled Young Vets are the big ones. I know they were far apart on money. Tag team wrestling isn't as big on the indies because it is the old, I want to say either Pritchard or Bischoff method of you got to pay four people for one match type of thing, as opposed to, well, you can just put them together whenever you need to type of thing. The Bollywood Boys are a good one. I don't know if AEW wants to bring them in or not, because they probably would have by now if they needed to. If they haven't signed the Outrunners, they need to sign the Outrunners. In fact, I think the Outrunners with somebody like Zicky Dice associated with them would be very, very good as well. As far as free agents that are just out there, Richard Holiday should be getting looks from people. Ben Bishop, who I interviewed recently, should be getting looks from people. I guess Lucha House Party is technically out there. I don't know how often they team these days. I think Violence is Forever is the obvious team that could come in and be kind of cool to see used, but they've done some appearances before AEW in the past. Who do you think eventually will beat Gunther for the title? Maybe John Cena. You know, the U.S. versus Europe type of thing could end up working in his favor. Who was the person that Camille beat up on Dynamite thinking they were Britt Baker? Just an extra, as best I know. Latest on Megan Bain. Did the AEW talks lead anywhere, or is NXT still a possibility? Well, it's always a possibility until they actually put pen to paper with AEW, but I hadn't heard of NXT reaching out as of lately, but I haven't heard of the talks going anywhere. A question that we get about once a month, do you think there is genuine concern within AEW regarding low ratings and declining attendance, or is it a nothing burger because of the pending TV deal? Well, the declining numbers in viewership is not a nothing burger. It's never a nothing burger. You should always want maximum interest, maximum attendance, maximum viewership. But they are about to get a TV deal that is significantly higher. I would be surprised if it wasn't double what they're making now. Now, I don't know what that double would include, if there are any additives or anything, but I would be shocked. What percentage do you give Dustin Rhodes heading to WWE when his contract expires? I, for one, hope he stays with AEW. I'm going to say 50-50, and I know that's a cop-out for a lot of people, but listen, man, like, there's a lot of good story opportunities there. He has a rich history in WWE, but very clearly, they like him in AEW, ROH, and they're putting a lot into him, and man, he's great. Like, he's always over. Always over. Someone asked if I think that Adam Cole will be back before the Wilkes-Barre Dynamite. Well, I mean, that one is in Pennsylvania. I believe that's where he lives now. And I think that's a good target date for them. That's a good date to be like, okay, that's when we should bring him back. I'm not saying that's when they are. But, yeah. I think it's a good place to aim. Did you watch the DDP-Izzy fight? What a fun fight it was. It was. And the Adesanya era of just, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I tie a lot of that era to, like, man, it's the era when I was covering MMA full time as well. Me and Showdown Joe doing all these events and shows and stuff like that. And here's the wild thing. Like, we started Fightful in summer of 2016. And at that point, Adesanya was just a prospect. I remember getting on here in like the summer of 2016, and we had talked about Israel Adesanya, this kickboxer who came in and, you know, he fought here and there, and then all of a sudden, over like 6-7 months, he had like a bunch of wins. Like, he went over to China and fought in MMA a bunch, and is he a guy to look out for? And then he didn't fight for another year, and he beat Melvin Gillard, and we went back to talking to him, but he didn't even fight until a year and a half into Fightful. And his entire run, his ascent to the top, his championship run, has been since Fightful started. So I tie a lot of that to Fightful, or tie a lot of those memories to Fightful, rather. It's wild to see him effectively, or at least imply that he's wrapping it up. What's going on with Kiana James and Tegan Nox? Kiana James, I don't know. Tegan Nox is okay, and she's been backstage recently. She also worked a dark match as well. Update on Charlotte and Cora. I would imagine Charlotte's headed down the last few months of recovery. But I mean, gosh, she tore up her knee at the beginning of December. So she's about the 8-9 month mark right now. And I've said this, I feel like I've said this on about 10 shows, but you'll see her like working with bands and doing squats and stuff like that. And a lot of people are like, oh my God, look at her. She's ahead of schedule. And I'm like, you know, it's a part of the rehab process. Cora Jade should be about a month behind where she is. Similar injury. Unfortunately, an awful lot of ACL injuries right now. Hi, Sean. When a talent like Anna Jay travels to stardom, is there a handler provided for her to help get her around since there's a huge language barrier? If not, is she expected to figure that out all on her own? Well, it depends. Usually, or many times, AEW will have somebody, or stardom will have somebody that can help her out, or somebody that knows both languages. But if you're like over there on your own, like you're over there on an indie booking, that is definitely not always provided. When do you think AEW and WBD will announce a new TV deal? Probably within a month or so. Within a month or two, I think. Yeah. I'll have more on a deal. I'll have more on a deal soon. I think they are, I don't want to say like crossing the finish line, but I think that they're hammering out details at this point. Hi, Sean, has there been any discussion of a SmackDown anniversary show for 25 years of being on the air? Peter, this is one I don't have an answer to, but I wanted to say it out loud so people will follow up on it with me. I want you guys to keep asking me about this because I'm gonna ask. There gotta be. You want to maximize, especially when you're moving over to USA. You gotta maximize everything and make everything seem important. Hey, Sean, in previous shows, you've mentioned how WWE themes from the 90s, 2000s, many of which were the Hardy Boys, Hardcore Holly, are stock music. For example, you hear those same songs on commercials or even in the background of some reality TV shows. Were these Jim Johnson creations that were sold to other networks, or did WWE purchase them from some sort of stock music library? No, they purchased them from a stock music library, of which still exists. I think it's like Extreme Music or something that it's called. So in that library was the Hardy Boys theme, which you would hear on a lot of Spike TV stuff as well. The original Hardcore Holly theme as well, which was a slapper. And not only that, but the Too Cool theme. So I don't know how long the license runs for or anything like that, but when AEW got the Hardy Boys license, they also ended up getting the license to stuff like the Hardcore Holly theme, which of course they never used, but the Scotty Too Hottie Too Cool theme. And Scotty Too Hottie actually worked a show in Orlando for AEW last year, and I think they were able to use it then. I think that's what ended up happening. Any news on AEW Fight Forever, or are the game updates done? Done, last I heard. I know they had scanned in a bunch of people that never ended up getting put in the game. But the original plan was to have it continue forever. Hi, Sean, I know you dropped TNA to Detroit news ahead of time. Any news on AEW coming to Michigan? Only two shows here. Sold 12K in 2022 and 8K last May, followed up with a collision in September. I didn't have that because of a connection to Detroit. I just had that because there was a big event going there. I do not know, but I'd be shocked if they don't go there sooner than later. Somebody's asking where Wardlow was. He posted a picture in like April of him, of a car accident that he had. I don't know if that's what sidelined him since March, but he has not been around, hasn't been at a bunch of TVs, and a lot of people that I've talked to just haven't really heard much about what's going on there when I've asked, but I've been following up on that nonstop. You heard if we get Ilya versus Braun at Bash at Berlin. It would make a lot of sense, but I haven't heard that necessarily. Feels like there have been a lot more promos that feel natural and less stilted in both WWE and AEW. I assume this is generally about being given more freedom during promos. Do any wrestling promotions work with acting coaches or any other experts in public speaking? Well, there's always feedback given. I can tell you this. Like, when I worked with Will Washington, Will Washington was really good at understanding the voice of, like, particular wrestlers. And he would, like, throw out ideas and stuff. And I could hear as he was saying them, like, in the voice of that performer. If you go and you listen to episodes of Grapsody and you see, like, some of his ideas and stuff, you can tell that he understands the voice of that performer because he meticulously watches that stuff. I'm sure that's carried over. I know that he's done a lot of the Willow and Chris stuff, and that ended up great. Plus, you got a guy like Stokely involved there who is just, even when it's clearly, it's like something that most people wouldn't say, it's Stokely, and he makes it seem so believable, and like that's how he actually is. But in WWE, I got to say, in NXT, I do not see that at all. I do not see that. In NXT, I see a lot of promos that are like one of those MTV dating shows that you would used to see. And I'm like, okay. But then when they get up to the main roster, it's usually a little bit different. Now, a few years ago, it definitely was not when you had like the Lacey Evans vignettes and all that. But a lot of the sit downs you're seeing, and like, for example, the ones where Jackie or Kathy are sitting with somebody and talking, or Jim Ross, oh, those are so good. Those are in the voice of how these people sound. Like, I was watching Twisters 2. And I was like, man, people don't talk like this. This isn't normal dialogue. You know what I mean? Like, it was so fabricated. And I mean, maybe that's the element they were going after, was like very 90s TV style. But even if you listen to how people talk to each other in the 50s and 60s, it doesn't sound like it is now. Now, the only thing is, for decades, you had a guy who came up hearing how people talk to each other in the 50s and 60s and really accentuating it in that manner. Fortunately, it's gone. It's done. With AEW ROH participating in the Tokyo Dome on January 5th, is there any possibility of taping Dynamite Collision happening in Japan? I don't think so, but I think it's something they should look into. Any word on Raquel Rodriguez? Yeah, she's been training recently, but they don't want to bring her back and then her condition flare up again. Any idea on what Tony's relationship with AAA is like? Konnan seems intent on burning that bridge, and it seems like TK is mostly keeping the door open for when Vikingo becomes available. I mean, I know that Tony doesn't necessarily like a lot of the business-related things and some of the things that Konnan says, but on a personal level, like, he's fine with Konnan. I know that he is. But he lets AAA use some, you know, AEW talent, office talent as well. But the priority is CMLL. Any chance we see Zilla Fatu in WWE relatively soon? I think he's one that, I mean, maybe they would bring in and have involved in some capacity, but they would probably want to send him to NXT in some regard. Anything new on the bald guy engaged to Samantha Irvin contract-wise? If you mean Ricochet, he is headed to AEW. He's been headed to AEW. Chances of a sequel to Fight Forever. It'd be way down the line, I think. But I think it will happen. They own the engine. What do you think of Asuka's YouTube channel, Kana-chan TV? Man, I think it's first off, I've watched some of her videos. I use some of them for memes, like her putting up a tent or something like that. But man, she's so personable. Very likable. I really like that she does that. It gives you, I mean, this is a thing they weren't allowed to do years ago. And she just still kind of was, regardless. Like, she would just casually just start producing her stuff. I want to say it was during the pandemic. But man, her thumbnail game is on point. Like, her videos are interesting. You know, the ones that I've watched. And just a really great personality to have. Did WWE get any pushback from NBCU for scheduling SummerSlam during the Olympics? Not that I've heard. I mean, they understand that WWE has got to continue to do their own business. The world does not stop for the Olympics. WNBA might stop. And you know, some of the other sports might stop. But the rest of the world does not. And what does WWE have to do with that? You know what I mean? What new blood can AEW inject into their tag team division to help improve it? Well, I like that this is a subject that is getting talked about. First off, MXM are new blood. The Outrunners are not new blood there, but they should be utilized more heavily. See if the infantry sticks. Get EJ and Duka on TV with a tag team partner. I think that would be cool. I would abandon Acclaimed. I would have them split. To me, the Outrunners and MXM are sure things, and I mean sure things. I would also move Jericho to a trios or a tag team, as opposed to the FTW title program. I think that the tag team division and the trios division could stand to have Chris Jericho and a partner involved there. I know Bishop Khan and Toa Leona want to really accelerate their spot on the card. I would book a lot of the talent that's there better. But again, MXM and Outrunners are two sure things. Two sure things. Any update on Ricky Starks in AEW? Not that I've heard. I haven't heard that he's been backstage or anything like that. What is your dream interview outside of the wrestling world? Ooh. You know, it'd probably be my favorite baseball player of all time, Bip Roberts. And some people will think that I'm joking about that. But when I was very, very, very little, I had the same number as him. I was, at the time, short. So I thought of myself as like the little guy, Bip Roberts. And Bip Roberts had just, gosh, I was, you know, barely alive then, but was an all-star for the Reds. And it's just always been my favorite baseball player and what I tied to my love of sports. It's for somebody that most people would know, though, it'd probably be Michael Jordan. What new features do you want added to WWE 2K25? So I didn't play a ton of 2K24. I don't play a ton of wrestling video games these days because once I get done with work, I want to play football or watch football or, you know, true crime, something like that. But a thing that has long been gone from WWE games that I wanted back was when you do an elimination chamber, you used to be able to select like a team elimination chamber. Now, there isn't as great of a need now for that because of the War Games edition, but I really loved that. Like, you could do a 3-on-3 elimination chamber, and it was your way of having War Games before the War Games match. And I really, really dug it and enjoyed it. Hi, Sean. Are there still plans for a WWE Championship redesign, or has that been scrapped? I don't even remember that being a thing. What's the latest on Ty Conti and Penelope Ford returning to the ring? They won't rush Ty back. I heard some positive progress on Penelope Ford. I'll check in on that, but I heard some positive progress on that. With Tony Khan saying he believes WWE is still contract tampering, do you think he adds injury time to Phoenix's deal to prevent him from heading to WWE with Penta? Like I said, if I were Tony Khan, I would tell Penta, you know what? If you haven't signed with WWE yet, if you come over here, you lose a couple of matches, lose a singles match, lose a couple tag team matches with your brother, then we won't extend his deal. Alex says, Meltzer said he saw an internal memo from WBD about the value of AEW programming. Some people are saying the memo he found was proven to be fake. Any news on that? Oh, yeah. So I will cover this to the best of my ability. Dave had posted a comment on his board, and it said the following. Quote, I saw an internal memo from WBD on the total value of AEW programming. It was $288,265,720 per year based on ad revenue and 2% of TNT carriage rates, 2.5% of TBS, and 3% of True TV's carriage rates, and included purchasing of the pay-per-view franchise. However, it was a pay-per-view model indicated as similar as UFC, still $50 per show. It did list an ROH show as a part of the value, a reality show, and Dynamite, Rampage, Collision, and pay-per-views. So, it's a lock. ROH has been talked about, and pay-per-view has been talked about. Also, TBS is expected to make $91 million this year in ad revenue for Dynamite. This is all based on a rating estimate for ROH, and quarter two ratings for the existing shows, and 137,500 average pay-per-view buys in 2024, end quote. That was his post. Saturday night, I got tagged in our Discord, and it's sort of a rule in there, don't tag me, because I'll be in there. I'll eventually be in there, but usually I'm in the Ask SRS thing. I got tagged, and it was by someone who I know personally, and it was in the AEW ROH thread. And I said, okay, let me check this out. And a person who has been in our Discord for a long time had posted a spreadsheet. And it was a spreadsheet of their personal estimates for what type of, you know, carriage fees and the percentage that AEW like was responsible for and an estimated ad revenue for AEW and their individual shows. And it came out to that same exact dollar amount. Now, this was an Excel spreadsheet. It was not an internal memo. I can't speak to what Dave saw. I don't know if he saw that same Excel spreadsheet or if he saw something that was made up to look like a memo and then shown to him. Or I don't know if, like, out of some miraculous situation, all this information is the same. But I can tell you that spreadsheet was in our Discord months ago and is not based on an internal memo as per the person who made that spreadsheet and did a very good job of it, by the way. I don't know a dollar amount of what AEW has been offered, but I know a general neighborhood of what they've been offered prior. I don't believe that there was a memo that was seen. I don't, based on the information that I have. And listen, I respect Dave greatly. I think you'll come to realize if they're in media and they're my colleague, I'm going to treat them with respect, unless they do something disrespectful to me or the like. But I don't know how else to say this one. It was not a memo. It was a spreadsheet that was in our Discord for a long time ago. Any word on Grizzled Young Vets at Wembley or with AEW? Nope. You think Danielson is going to win it? Yeah, I do. What's the status of Ali and the Blade? Ali is gone from AEW. Blade is still under contract, I believe. Any names you believe will be at All In you haven't seen speculated by fans? Yeah, I think Switchblade could end up there. Like, I think if I were them, I'd bring in Sting as well. Old topic, but how did WWE react to CM Punk All In footage being aired? It was just, that was something. I mean, nobody made that big of a deal out of it. Is there a reason why AEW stopped doing the rankings? No, but I know they brought them back as sort of a crutch for a story recently. But, a few months ago, a number of months ago. I think that they will just use it whenever it's convenient for them. Any plans for Dominic to get his own solo feud after Bash? I don't know about solo feud. I know he's supposed to still stay involved with the Liv Morgan stuff, though. Michelle Tate, good friend of the show, says, when you order a burger, what do you get on it? This is important. Also, check out Michelle's show, the Boo You Horror Podcast. It's very good stuff. I like a good burger with a cold slice of cheese, tomato, lettuce, and ideally a sesame seed bun. I don't deal with that brioche bullshit. I don't like that. But I also sometimes will get it with an egg on it, sometimes with bacon, with barbecue sauce. There was a Gold Star near my house that used to have this badass thing called a backyard burger. And it was a burger, ham, bacon, barbecue sauce, and their Gold Star cheese. And oh my God, it was incredible. So good. Any news on recent free agents? Ricochet, Dijak, Lashley, MVP. Lashley, MVP, I expect to see them in AEW. Ricochet will be in AEW. Dijak is going to work a heavy indie schedule. I don't think he's going there as of yet. But I would love to see him with MXM, actually. Chances we see Mox at All In, and somebody asked me to fantasy book him as a solo. He needs to be involved in something important. And I think that he should. I think it'd be kind of cool to be the, you know, this isn't the AEW I loved type of Mox. Him to be grizzled and bitter and all that. I think that he can play grizzled and bitter very, very well. I think there's a good chance he's at All In, but I haven't heard that necessarily. Preston says, is WWE doing Wembley next year with All In being in Texas? If WWE does Wembley next year, it has nothing to do with why AEW isn't doing Wembley. That was a completely different scheduling thing. Not the same thing. Ed says, PWI reported that Stephanie Vaquer will start in WWE as soon as her visa is sorted out, and Julia announced she'll be extending her stay until the 25th. Is the idea to debut them once together? Listen, I wouldn't be surprised if they waited until the CW era to debut them, because then you really make a splash on that channel. I think that that's a good idea to do. I don't know if they're going to like bring them in the same time together or anything like that. Do you think there's a chance we see Bryan Danielson return to WWE within the next 2 years? There's always a chance, but I mean, I know his loyalty was more to the previous regime, but also he said that he wants to stick around and help AEW when I talk to him. Sean, any chance of Death Triangle being the fourth team for the ladder match as a last hurrah type of deal? I think there's absolutely a chance. I don't think it will be them, but I think there's a chance for sure. Any insight as to what the creative plans could have been for Copeland for Double or Nothing and going into All In? Any shot he makes an appearance? Possibly an appearance, but I don't know what the creative plans were. I know that they had, you know, they had long tossed around the idea of maybe eventually they'd do like a Hardys thing, but it just didn't end up happening. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the right moment. Has there been any update on whether McAfee is sticking around during football season? He is scheduled for College Game Day. That is like a usually a Friday night to Saturday afternoon type of thing. He's on Mondays now. So his Friday obligations are no longer in the way of doing that. That's as best I can say right now, is that it's not the same schedule conflicts that he had before. So any schedule conflicts that he would have now would sort of be addressed by that. When do you think WWE runs a PLE in Mexico or South America? Which one do you think is more likely? I think Mexico is most likely, considering all the talent they're getting from there. You know, they have loaded up on Latino and Latina talent. So I think it's probably going to be there. And I would do it next year if I were them. Guys, thank you all so much. I truly appreciate all of you. All In this weekend. Got a whole lot of AEW news. And then next week, we're going to have a whole lot of WWE news. Until next time, we're out.